Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness. God, that you are so patient with us. You teach us again and again and again. God, you are so ever faithful. Thank you that you don't leave us or forsake us. And God, that you receive us back with open arms. God, that you have suffered and died and continue, God, to wash us from our sins. God, thank you. Pray for your spirit to go forward, to God, bring illumination, God, understanding, that you would open our ears, God, and you would write, God, on the tablets of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I made a very, very shocking statement last week. It was shocking because we are addicts. We are addicted to this world. We are, when I say addict, I mean that very, very deliberately. And I want to convince you that you are, and that I want to convince you that there is hope, and I want to convince you that there is a better life for those who are addicted. I'm not going to say everybody here is an addict. I am saying most likely that everybody here is an addict. And one of the interesting things about, you know, in the past I talked about the word worldview. Worldview are things that we believe in. We believe in things. We don't know that we believe in them until something happens. And then when something happens, and then it comes out that we believe in them. And so a worldview is a set of assumptions. You assume them to be true, and it controls how you think and interpret. Okay? So worldview is a set of assumptions that you believe are true, and it causes you to, it controls how you think and how you interpret. For instance, if you have a bad boss that make you suffer, you think that your boss is the problem. And God tells you that all bosses, all presidents, all kings work for me. And that they only have power because God wants to give them power. Now, so we have to believe, as much as we don't like them, that God has put them there. That's very difficult. I don't know if I like that kind of a God. If you have a spouse who will not work too hard, you think that your spouse is the problem and that it is not your patience. You have thoughts here. If you serve too much and other people in the church don't serve, you think the other people in the church who don't serve is the problem. You don't think you are the problem. What the Bible says is very shocking, because the truth, in the way that God, in Jesus Christ, wants to set you free, is so that you begin to go, huh, I didn't know I believed in that. Maybe my boss is not the problem. Maybe my lazy friend isn't the problem. Maybe it's not my circumstance. It's not my situation. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's my thoughts. And I did not know that I believed in them until these things happened. So today, I want you to understand that God wants to free you from your circumstance, from your difficult relationships, and I want you to allow God to free you. Because right now, if I asked you, what is your biggest problem? You will mention people, and you will mention circumstances. You will mention maybe it's your job. Maybe you will mention it's other people. But I want you to know that Jesus did not come to change situations. He didn't. He did not overthrow the Romans. He did not raise the church up and made them rich. The Jerusalem church, which sent out missionaries, were so poor, Paul had to go on missions to bring money back to the church. That's how poor Jerusalem church was. Hear what I'm saying. When Jesus came, he did not free them from their circumstance, nor did he free them from difficult people, especially difficult people in power. But Jesus said, I came to set you free. Was he a liar? He was not a liar. He wants to set you free, no matter what. Now, you don't believe that. You don't. The way you react with anger, the way you get frustrated, the way you envy, the way you get jealous of other people, and you say, God, if you love me, how come I'm here? How come I'm not handsome? How come I'm not rich? How come I didn't get into that school? How come I have difficult, dysfunctional family? Jesus came to set you free. That's the promise of, that is your inheritance in being a Christian. That's good news. So today, I want you to realize that God wants to come and take that lie out of your mind, and I want you to let God put in the truth today. So when I say you are an addict, I don't want you to get offended. I want you to go, huh, well, maybe I am. And I will try to share with you how that is happening. We are talking about the Lord's Prayer. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. The second part of the Lord's Prayer, we said, hallowed be thy name. We realize that when Jesus says, pray like this, right? Hallowed be thy name is who God is. See, again, we don't know that we don't like God that much. We don't really, because God is in control. Okay? He is El Shaddai. He is all powerful. He's the Almighty One. But if you don't like your circumstances, and you don't like your people, it's hard to pray, hallowed be thy name. God, what you're saying is, honor be you, holy be you, praise and worth be you for who you are, who control my life. Thank you so much for making me so, not so handsome, not so pretty, not so successful, not so whatever. Thank you for my difficult circumstances. Thank you for being almighty and giving me those things. Very difficult. Maybe sometimes we don't like God. Maybe my parents came to America and thought that America, they were going to be happy. But America doesn't make you happy. Interesting. I escaped difficult circumstance. See, this is why many of us in here, many of us came to America to escape difficult people, difficult circumstance. That's why my parents came. But God doesn't take you from difficult to pleasant. God did not rescue the Israelites from Egypt, right? And just plop them into the promised land. God took them from Egypt and then took them into the wilderness. What's up with that? And many of us right now came to America thinking this was the promised land, and we find ourselves in the wilderness. And here's the good news. God wants you there. God wants you there. It's good news. It's good news for me. And so then we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we talked about last couple of weeks maybe 3 weeks. The kingdom of God, the gospel, the good news is about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom is not land. The new kingdom is about people. So here's what a kingdom is. Kingdom is when people come together, link like this, become one, right? And you build, and it's a temple, actually. And God lives and reigns in the middle of that. So that's exactly what Jesus says. The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. When two or more gather, there I am. Heaven is one big temple. And when heaven comes down, the kingdom is being built. Here's the good news. People want to, the good news is not accept Jesus into your heart and then you become a Christian. But I don't like people that much. I don't trust people. The good news has to be that you become brothers and sisters. Jesus prayed that the good news is that I will give you not just a father, not just parents. I'm not going to just give you Jesus Christ. The good news is I'm going to give you brothers and sisters. I don't like brothers and sisters. I want to be an only child. See, that's the thing about Christians, you know, at least in the West. We don't want brothers and sisters. We want cousins, you know what I mean? Maybe third, fourth removed kinds of cousins. Because it's difficult. Matter of fact, marriage is just a prototype. It's just a model of what the church should look like with God as our parent. But how many people will say, huh, so God invented marriage in Ephesians, right? 5, it talks about God invented marriage because he wants to show us what the relationship the church has with each other and with Christ. That's the kingdom, right? Marriage is the picture, honestly, and a family is the picture of the kingdom of God. That's the good news. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. If you look at what Jesus preached, he always talked about the kingdom. And he explained that the kingdom. So if you become a Christian and you're not really tight, you don't confess your sins, you don't work together, right, with others, right? You're not like this with other believers. You hang out. You're very close. But you don't pray together. You don't share deep things with each other. You don't challenge each other. Help each other, right? To really, really live the kingdom life to its fullest. Then you're not... My brother, I'll tell you what. I say some really hard things to my brother. You know why? Because I love him. And sometimes, you know, I say some hard things to you. Because I love you. And I love it when people... I don't love it. When people say hard things to me, I like it less. Okay? But I believe it's good for me. There's the difference. If you don't think it's good for you, then you don't want to hear it. See, that's the difference. You gotta believe that it's good for you. All right. So we're talking about now your will be done. Here's a true statement. Tell me if you believe this. What makes God happy makes me happy. Do you believe that? But I'll say it another way. The only things that will make me truly happy are only the things that make God happy. Do you believe that? I want you to understand, sure I believe that. But the way you worry all the time. You have anxiety, right? You're stressed. Why? Because you don't believe that. God, tell me if you believe this. God only commands things that will make you happy. If God is commanding you to do it, it's only because that's the only way you can really be happy. Do you believe that? See, we're here because, honestly, the reason you need to hear that, because you don't. You think other things can make you happy. It got in there somehow, didn't it? It got in there. It's in there. Trust me. Look how stressed you are at work. Right? Let me just say this. Nobody in America will starve to death. No matter how poor you are. My brother was a medical student. He was up in New Jersey. And he gave me a phone call. He said, "Henry, guess what? I'm on Medicaid." Medicaid? He says, "Yeah." Now, he had been an engineer for almost 10 years. Okay? Before he decided to go to medical school. And I remember this because I was talking to Jerry about this, okay, on Saturday. And it just dawned on me. My brother was so happy. I was like, "Why are you so happy?" Because he said, "I can't believe it. I mean, I've had health care insurance, and I thought I had some good health insurance. But Medicaid, man, that's some good health insurance, right?" He said, "It's good health insurance. And New Jersey takes care of my family." He was on food stamps. You know, he wasn't going to subsidize housing. I can tell you right now, you will not starve to death. In America, you will have a roof over your head. And you will have health insurance, no matter how poor you are. But what is it so we are so afraid of? You know what we're afraid of? We're afraid of shame. We're afraid of shame. You know why public speaking is the number one fear in America? Probably the world. Shame. It's enough that one person, right, embarrasses me. If every one of you out there embarrasses, shame from everybody, that's unbearable. The good news is that Jesus Christ took all of our shame. We're not to live life with shame no more. So you take shame out of the equation. What are you afraid of? You're still afraid of shame, aren't you? See, we can talk the talk, but we're still afraid of shame. Why do you want your kids to go to good school? So they don't have to have shame. Knowing that Jesus Christ took all our shame, you'll never have to worry about shame again. But you don't believe that. You don't believe it. That's the problem. So that's why you want them to make a name for themselves, so that they could be honorable in of themselves without God. Now, God don't like that. The only kind of thing God likes is when we are feeling worthy because of Him, not because of whatever's going on in our lives. All right, so what's the main problem of this unhappiness? I mean unhappiness because if we believe that the only thing that makes us happy is what God, is only the things that make God happy, if we're going to go down that way, that means, now here's what the Bible said last week. Remember we read? God only does things that make Him happy. The Bible says God does all that He pleases. So that means God doesn't do anything that does not make Him happy. God sent His Son to the cross because it made Him happy. And you're going, He didn't die, did He? Forever? No. God did that because what the result of what His Son did is going to create life and life eternal. God only does what He wants to do. So when we pray, "Thy will be done," the word in Greek "will" is desire, want. So that means, "God, please do what You want with me." That's what you're praying. "Please do what You want with us. Please do what You want with my children." Now, if you don't want that, it's hard for you to pray that. Because God might take you down. You know what God said? If you lack wisdom, ask for it. Do you know what it takes to have wisdom? You know one of the secret ingredients to it? You know, every good recipe has a secret ingredient, doesn't it? You know what the secret ingredient for wisdom is? Suffering. That's, you ask for wisdom, right? And you don't want to suffer. You can ask all you want. But without suffering, you're not going to get wisdom. So if you want wisdom, you got to be willing to humble yourself and suffer. So, what's the main problem of unhappiness? Here's the word. Bad investment after bad investment. You know why? Because all sacrifice is investment in the kingdom of God. The Korean word for investment is 투자. The Chinese word, I think, is 投资, right? All sacrifice, right? 牺牲, right? Is 投资. All 牺牲. Okay? All 牺牲 is 투자. You know what I'm saying? Why is that? Jesus came to make an investment. Jesus died, that was an investment. All that God commands you in sacrifice is investment. Why? Because good investments make us happy. It makes us happy people. All right, take a look at this. No matter how much more than $70,000 people make, they don't report any greater degree of happiness. That was a study done by a Nobel Prize winner, Daniel Kahneman, okay, and an economist, and they found that $75,000 in America, at least, was about, that's household income. Any more than that, people's happiness is, you know, not even going up. They also found that happiness also has also found that it's not absolute wealth that's linked with happiness, but how much more money you have than your neighbors. Okay? So if you live in Fairfax, you probably need a little bit more. When I was living in a very poor part of town in Seoul, Korea, you didn't need anything. I just needed my bathroom to be indoors, okay, because it was outdoors. You know what I'm saying? All right. Daniel Kahneman says this, high incomes don't bring you happiness, but they do bring you a life you think is better. But that's a lie. You think it's better. Hear what I'm going to tell you. In Korea, when I was growing up as a child, bananas, they were so expensive. Nobody ate bananas. If you had a banana, you were a rich, rich kid. My mom, I had dental procedure done. I was in so much pain. My mom went and bought a banana. And I had banana for the first time. Oh my goodness. I thought the world could stop now. God, take me home. I had a banana. It was that good. And you know what happened when we came to America? Oh, bananas were so cheap. We bought bananas upon bananas upon bananas. You know what we did? We killed the banana. We murdered the banana to death. We murdered it. My dad took me to McDonald's on my birthday and bought me 2 Big Macs. When I was a little kid, I looked forward to my birthday because my dad would take me to McDonald's. I love Big Macs, and to this day, I cherish them. And when they came out with the Grand Mac, the Big Mac of Macs, oh, and then they took it away. Okay? I didn't grow up with air conditioning, right? Rich people turned on air conditioning all summer. Poor people did not. Even in the car, a lot of cars didn't have air conditioning. You know, your air conditioning was this, you know? I remember my dad, if it got too hot, like 110 degrees or something, right? You know, my dad goes, close the curtain, you know? And then it's like, ah, he's going to turn on the air conditioner, you know, and I'll take this over that, you know, vent. And, oh, there's no, I remember going to King's Dominion. Pizza. Oh, I had pizza for the first time. Oh my goodness. Pizza. Whew, that was so good. When I hear children go, I'm so sick and tired of pizza. Who killed pizza for you? Somebody killed the pizza. My children, I mean, I love them, but they don't appreciate air conditioning on, okay, every day. Why is this going on? Let me give you another example. Anybody out there, you don't like music? Anybody don't like music? Okay, everybody likes music. You know what I did with music? I kill music. When I have a favorite song, I download it, 99 cent. I listen to it like 100 times. I get sick of it and I don't listen to it ever again. That's what I do. I have a library of hundreds of songs. All songs that I have murdered and killed. I don't have a favorite song no more. When I was young, when I was little, I used to have favorite songs all the time. And when it came on the radio, that's my jam. You know what I mean? You know? Because I didn't hear it a lot. I only heard it if it came on the radio. Now we have, everybody here has probably 10,000 songs, all of which you have murdered, and you can't even decide which one you want to listen to. We are murderers of good things. We kill bananas. We kill songs. My family members have even killed Disney World. Right? I remember we were trying to go to Disney World. My nephew goes, "Oh, Disney World, I'm so sick of it." I'm like, "Okay. All right. You killed Disney." You know what I mean? We kill houses. We kill cars. We kill iPhones. We can't wait for the next model to come out because it ain't doing it for me no more. We are murderers of happiness. That's what money does. You don't realize when you're poor, you get to be happy. Just about every little thing makes you happy. Every little thing. Pizza makes you happy. Big Mac makes you happy. Going to a restaurant and you see a hair, whoo, throw that hair out. Whoo, I'm happy. Now it's like, oh, come over here, there's a hair in my suit. Right? Not happy. Here's the law. You have too much of it, you'll kill it. You have too much of it, you will kill it. And in America, you don't need a lot of money because you're already rich. Even if you're poor, you will kill it. The number one epidemic, health epidemic right now in America is obesity. It leads to cancer, it leads to heart. You know where the rates of the greatest obesity is? Not amongst rich folks. Rich folks go to Whole Foods and buy a little bit of expensive food. Money doesn't make you happy because if we have lots of money in that plane, we'll kill everything. We'll go in, if you can afford these things, I will kill it all. I will go to the grocery store and I will kill all the foods I like because I will have it all the time because I got the money. Then I need to make a little bit more money. And then I'll kill everything there that I didn't have down here. And then I just need to make a little bit more money. And then I'll kill everything there. And it's like a pyramid. And we get weirder. I was talking to a friend of mine. Springfield Mall used to be a happening place. You guys don't know that. Springfield Mall had a video arcade called Time Out. For some of you who are born in this area, Time Out, my friends, okay? Back in the 80s, whoo, okay? And I remember he was telling me, oh, Time Out, man. My parents would give me a stack of quarters like this, right? And he says, if they had time to take me, if my friend's parents took us, once in a blue moon, because parents were too busy, they have businesses on, they can't take you to Time Out. And he said, oh my gosh, I had so much fun. He said, I bought my kids a PlayStation. My kids have Xbox One, 360. They got, what is that, the other, right? The other thing, Wii, right? All these video things now. He said, I was so happy going once in a while to Time Out to play some lame Space Invaders or something like that. Galaga, that was my jam. You got PlayStation. And he said, I bought my son PlayStation. He played it a couple of times and he hasn't touched it. We're so bored. When I was a kid, man, I used to go to the creek, you know. I used to try to put sticks together. It was stupid, but I was a kid. I used to put the, and I used to tie it all up and then jump on it to see if I would sink. Of course, I sank every single time, right? Really. But I did stupid stuff like that. And I had a ball. I had fun all the time. Camping, my fondest memory of my childhood vacation was camping at the beach. Lots of flies. Oh, lots of flies. It was at Chincoteague. Lots of jellyfish. Every time you went into the water, man, you got stung by jellyfish. Now, hear me this. That was my favorite moment. That's what I remember. But now we talk about glamping. You know what glamping is? Glamorous camping. It's all of the camping without the dirt. You take the dirt out, you take the fun out. I'll tell you why. I spent all my life, okay, being somehow associated with the military. I spent 20 some odd years in the military. And every time we went to the field for exercise, it would take me like 2 days, sometimes 3 days, to get used to being dirty and smelly. The first thing I would notice is my friend got smelly. I didn't know that I was getting smelly, and I couldn't take that. So I had to get used to that. Right? Then I got used to, like, you know, when the food was all dirty, at first I was like, you know, making sure it's all clean. My hand was clean. After a while, it's like, okay, your hand is all dirty. It doesn't matter. And after you spend a lot of time in the field and you get dirty, then that's when you begin to enjoy yourself. It's fun. But when you have to be clean and it has to be perfect, then no, it's hard. All right. Luke 18:24, it says, Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, how difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Now, who are we talking about? Jesus invited rich people to come and join the poor people. Okay? Into the kingdom. That's like inviting yuppies, inviting people who have, you know, and then you're inviting people to get really like a marriage tightness with people who are smelly, who are needy, dysfunctional, risky. I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like that. Because the gospel is a coming into the kingdom for your happiness. That's like saying, hey, you know that smelly man over there who's really not that attractive, not very successful? I want you to go and marry that man. Good news. That's your husband, right? You know that smelly, ugly-looking lady over there, right? That's your wife. That's the good news. This is how we interpret it. And Jesus says, trust me, if you marry that person, you'll be happy. And we don't believe Jesus. We don't. Because I like my attractive friends. They don't bother you too much. They give you enough space. You know what I'm saying? They're not that needy. They respect the boundary. That's not God's solution. Matter of fact, it's so hard if you don't see it. It says, again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the what? Kingdom of God. What's the problem? The problem is totsu. The problem is investment. Mark 10, this is the rich young ruler. He says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, because this young man wanted to be a Christian. And Jesus said, okay, you lack one thing. What do you think that one thing is? A willingness to make an investment. Willingness to make an investment, to come into the kingdom,
to mix it up with dirty, smelly, dysfunctional, right? People. Poor people too. Because he was rich. One thing. You know how we know that? He says, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. What Jesus was telling him was not to give it all up. He's saying, what? Make a good investment. Because if you come in and you invest in those people, you will now have treasures in heaven. He's saying, make sacrifice. But sacrifice is the investment. The one thing is the investment. Well, my job is so busy. Oh, so you can't live the kingdom life because your life is so busy. Is it because you're going to starve to death in America? Is it because if you're not so busy, you're going to lose your health insurance? If you're not so busy and you might be too poor? No, you're afraid of shame. He went away sorrowful, for he had what? Great possessions. He couldn't do it. Why? He was addicted. He was addicted. Your songs don't make you happy no more. Not like it used to. But you can't imagine not having it. See, that's what an addict is. Heroin used to make me happy, but now I just need it to make me normal. Cocaine used to make me, woo, I'm so happy. Now cocaine, I need cocaine just to feel normal. Bananas, too many of them. I'll eat it. It's pretty good. It's okay. Nice car. Yeah, I got to go from point A to point B. But you loved it last year. I need a new one. Addicts. We're addicts. They don't make you happy. They only make you feel like you need it. Because you can't imagine giving up this house. You can't imagine giving up that car. You can't imagine leaving it all or downsizing. Maybe it's too much. So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. A person who is not willing to make investments in the kingdom obviously can't come into the kingdom. It's not like God is not inviting them. It's like people are like, I don't know if I want to associate myself with those people or get myself that close to them. Matthew 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your heart? Your heart is where you make your investment. It's where you make your investment. That's where your heart is. And here's the thing. If you're not investing in people, other people, I'm not talking about your family. If you're not making an investment into other people's lives, you're not building the kingdom. And therefore, you're not investing in the kingdom. And so your treasures are not in heaven. You think it's in your children, but all you're teaching your children is how they can then make a bad investment when they grow up. Because they live in America now. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, hewn down cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know what it is? God, I'm the living water. I'm the one that makes you happy and thirsty, quenched, right? Satisfied. And people are going out to broken cisterns. It's broken, right? Temporary things. You can't hold the water. It's a lie. That's why Jesus says, for everyone, John 4, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. You get the new iPhone, you'll be thirsty again. You get that house, you'll be thirsty again. You're always going to need the bigger, better place. You're always going to need a bigger, better house, better, bigger car. You're going to need a better phone. You're going to need a better this, better that. You're always going to need the better and the most. And Jesus says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. You just got to stop drinking that. We're addicted. They don't make you happy. I mean, they might make you happy for what? A month? You're going to need it again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving. Now, it sounds like a lot like an addict, doesn't it? Oh, we got to have it. Can't imagine, right? That some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Look, if I asked every one of you, do you love money? You would say no. Are you controlled by it? You would say no. Why are you so busy? Because you're afraid to be shamed. Why can't you live the kingdom life and invest in the lives of people? The kind of people, right, that God wants you to invest in. Why? Because you're so busy. Why are you so busy? Because I could go and make a living. And you'll make it sound like it's for your children, it's for this and that, right? But it's because you got your mortgage is expensive. You got to have the right car. You got to teach them all the right things. And when it's all said and done, and it's in the end nears. And who knows when the end is? When you see Jesus face to face, you're going to have to explain, how did you invest the time that I've given you? The most precious time. I sent my son to suffer and die so you would learn a few things. How did you spend that time? But Jesus, you know I was busy providing for my family. Really? And what did you teach them? Through your example, what did you teach them? That they got busy to provide for their family. And what did Jesus say? Don't worry what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. What does he say? Seek first what? The kingdom of God. You know what the kingdom of God is? Seek first the people of God. The reign of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Because the kingdom are people. You know what the prayer? This is wisdom. Here, let me give you a little piece of wisdom. This is the Proverbs. I love this. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that I need is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You know what that is? God, help me not to be an addict. Help me not to get 2.0. Help me not to have so many songs I can't enjoy any of them anymore. Help me, God. Help me to want what you want and believe that only the things that please you will ultimately please me. So what's the solution? The main solution to happiness is good investment in the kingdom. You heard it from me. This is the secret that's revealed. It's the secret. And people are like, I don't want the secret. You know? That's why not everybody likes the kingdom. But the gospel is a message of the kingdom. We did that. Jesus talks about the gospel of the kingdom. Paul ended Acts with proclaiming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You know what that's saying? Everything is number two. Investing in the kingdom and the lives of other people, that is number one. I know it's shocking. That's got to be shocking to you. Investing in the kingdom, everything else is number two. You're not going to be able to go to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know how busy I was. I couldn't really invest in the kingdom because I was so, so busy. And Jesus is going to go, why were you so busy? Why did you teach your children not to invest in the kingdom? Is it okay to be so, so busy? What were you doing? This is Paul reminding the church. He says, I coveted no one's silver. I didn't want your silver. I didn't want your gold. I don't want your house. I don't need your car. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessity and to those who were with me. Not everybody knows it. When Paul was a tent maker. But you know, Paul, when he earned money, he didn't just keep it for himself. He supported the church too. Paul helped people. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Here it is. How he himself said, Jesus said this now, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know what the word blessed is? The best way I know how to define that means privilege, happiness. In other words, how fortunate. It means how happy are those who get it. Even non-Christians understand. Bill Gates, he realizes, you know what makes me happy? Giving my money away. Now, of course, he's not going to give away too much because he's got an expensive house, right? But he's found out that giving money away makes him happy. His wife, same thing. Bill and Melinda Gates. All the rich people, oh yeah. Why is that? We're designed that when we give, we're just happier. But it's, and only rich people give things away. But here's the thing. In Jesus Christ, we are rich. We are rich. So that means you can give of your time, you can give of your resources, right? Because you are rich. In Jesus Christ, we are very rich. And here's the Abrahamic covenant. In the Old Testament, God shows us what his plan and purposes are for this world. And he tells Abraham, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. You know what that means? God is going to make me happy by giving me privileges and do good things so that I may be myself a gift for somebody else. That I may be that privileged blessing, the gift. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So here's really what Jesus, this is what God is saying. Receiving the gift of the giver is good, not bad. It's good. But then becoming the giver, now you're like God. Right? Really happy. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. What is desired in a man is steadfast love. Remember, we talked about this verse. Hesed. The Hebrew word is hesed, means loyalty, covenant loyalty, commitment to one another. Loyal commitment to one another is what is desired. And if God desires it, that means we will be happy because of it. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy, what? In the Holy Spirit. Where is the Holy Spirit? Residing in the temple. Well, how do you know that? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, for when one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. To have happiness in the Holy Spirit, we are in a body drinking from that Spirit. And the outcome of doing that, of coming into the kingdom, is the fruit of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, when you become a Christian, takes you and puts you in the body. I don't know where we get this idea that if I accept Jesus into my heart, now I'm a Christian? Yes, then he will take you and put you in the kingdom. So then you're like this, right? Part of a temple that houses God. So therein lies. And then when you do, you will have the fruit of the Spirit, of which is joy and peace. Sometimes in the modern life in America, we can be lonely. And sometimes we think we're lonely because our relationship with God is not close enough. Part of the truth. But it's only half the truth. Part of your loneliness is you're not really in the kingdom. You're not really covenanted with kingdom people. You can't, if the good news is the kingdom, you got to go into the kingdom. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Oh, you are happy. That doesn't make sense to most people. I know Pastor Andrew understands that, right? And I know his church members understand that. It is a privilege to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Right? It makes us courageous people. And I'm going to tell you this. In the kingdom of heaven, they're only courageous people. You know what I'm saying? People who are willing to suffer. If you are insulted for the name of God, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory and of God resting on you. Romans 10:12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who what? I call on him. We have not because we ask not. We just don't. It's hard. Like, God, give me wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. But you got to want it. It's like saying, I want to dunk a basketball. I want to go like, bam, dunk a basketball. But you got to be willing, God, help me to dunk a basketball. Then God says, okay, go out and practice. You know what I'm saying? No, God, I don't want to practice. I just want to, ooh, like, and a dunk a basketball. No. God would not love you. He doesn't give you shortcuts. You have courage because you got to be courageous. There was a situation where you had to be courageous. If you want wisdom, you have to then suffer. It is a privilege to be trained by God. To you it has been given to know the secret. I'm just, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm giving you the secret of the kingdom. I'm not giving it to you. The Bible's giving it to you. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So final verse. So, the will of God, the desire of God, which is the same thing. The will of God, saying, God, your will be done, is like saying, God, give me wisdom. God, give me happiness. Right? God, make me a happy person, not give me happy circumstances. Do you understand the difference? We don't pray, God, give me happy circumstances. God, only bring happy people into my life. God, only give me happy families. Don't you give me a dysfunctional family. I don't like that. Give me happy family. Give me. God, we ask with wrong motive. No, what we're asking is, God, make me a wise person. Make me a happy person. Make me then a giving person. If you want to be happy, God's going to make you a giving person. There ain't no shortcut. If you want to be happy, you know why you're not happy? Because you're not that giving. If you are more giving, then you would be more happy. Why? Because then you would be a happy person. You know what a happy person? A blessed person. Because blessed means privilege happy. That means fortunate. That means God did something inside of you to make you a happy person. But don't think that you can be happy and not be that giving. Don't think you can be happy and not make investments in the kingdom and not investments into the lives of other people. Don't think that you can go and buy more things, build better things, have more quality things, and then your children grow up to have better, more, higher quality and think that they're going to be happy. Because God says, only if you let Him make you a happy person, no matter your circumstance, no matter the people, you will be then a happy person. So in light of that, let's read this verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So worship, you know what worship is, my friends? It says, this is your spiritual act of worship. Worshiping God is coming before God and saying, God, totsu, right? Help me make good investments. Because all sacrifice is investment. Help me to lay up treasures in heaven. That's what this verse is all about. Offering your body as a living sacrifice is laying treasures in heaven. Teaching your children to lay treasures in heaven. Because this world will lie to you. It'll say you got to get to that college. You got to get that job. And then when you do, you don't have time for anybody. How interesting is that? This is your spiritual act of worship. And you know what it says? It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The world doesn't think like this. The world says, if you got iPhone 7, go straight to iPhone XX. If the world says, if you got a Honda, now get an Acura. If you got the base Tesla, get the highest Tesla. I don't even know what they call it. Don't think like the world. They lie to you. They don't make you. You know what you're going to do? You're going to get those things and you're going to kill it. And then you're going to need the next level thing. That's why we always need more income. Because we kill off everything. When I was a kid, fast food was happiness. I grew up, I killed off fast food. Now I need more expensive food. Then you get more money, then you kill it all off. And then you need more money, kill it off. Kill, kill, kill. You kill happiness with money. And we're all prone to that. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means the lie in here. Remember I told you? Set of assumptions that control the way you think. Take it out. Help your family and your loved ones take it out. Because they don't make you happy. You're going to end up killing all the happiness. All the little happinesses, they're all blessings of God. Only if you would not eat ice cream every day. Only if you would not go eat out every day. Only if you did not have a special occasion every day. And we are so bored. Because nothing is special anymore. And we have taken God for granted. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, here's the beauty, coming back. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Whoa! Now, Paul is tying it back. How do you know God's will? You will only see the will of God, what is the desire and the pleasure of God, only for those who offer themselves up and say, God, help me to make good investments. If you want to do the will of God, but you don't want to make heavenly investments, investments in the kingdom, investments in the lives of other people, and you say, God, what's your will? Who should I marry? This pretty girl or that pretty girl? This successful guy or that successful guy? God, show me your will. You're not offering yourself up. Maybe God wants you to stay single. Maybe God, you know, look, if God wants something from you, It's only because he wants you to be happy. You gotta believe that. And here's the thing. We don't. We don't believe God. We think if God wants us to do it, we have to be cautious and careful. We worry because we don't trust God. We worry every day because we don't trust God, and we don't think the problem is that we don't trust God. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing. Notice he says that. His will. All of the will of God is good and it's pleasurable. Paul is saying God's will is pleasing to us. His perfect will. Trust him. His will is the path of happiness for you, your family, for your loved ones, for this church. It is good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and say, God, help us, God, to offer ourselves up. No, God. Actually, we offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice. What is pleasing to you, God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we're gonna refuse. It's difficult, but God, bring me to that place. Bring these people to that place where they trust you. God, help us to trust you and not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of your will, and that every day you will bring circumstances that are good for us. Help us to take care of each other, to look out for one another. Help us to love, God, as you love. In Jesus' name, amen.